This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for this week's edition of Texans Huddle. As you can see, progress being made on the world's largest scoreboard being installed out here at Reliance Stadium. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. You got to love what we're seeing behind us here, Mark.
Patty, it's amazing because you have the world's largest video board at each end of the stadium, and this is going to be on display when the Texans take the field for the preseason in August and, of course, the Texas Kickoff Classic between Oklahoma State and Mississippi State coming up Labor Day weekend.
But the Houston Texans have been taking the practice field this week. Mini camps underway. Of course, OTAs wrapped up last week. What's the difference, Mark, between the OTAs and the mini camp?
You know, usually you'd think mini camp, it's mandatory. Veterans, they'll be out there in pads maybe. But no, they're out there in hats, and the veterans are just working out in the mornings. Patty, they're just running. And the young guys, some vets included, but the younger players, the less experienced players, are out there running a whole lot of plays. Now, they're in hats, but they're running over 100 plays per session in order to get a ton of work done, a ton of reps. So they'll be ready to hit the ground running when training camp arrives. 6-week break between mini camp and training camp, that's a long time. And this is the last chance, last house on the left, to get these younger guys fully acclimated to the way the Texans want to run their playbook, do their business. And you want to keep everybody together in training camp, get them all in sync.
And that's what Gary Kubiak really has been saying all week. He's looking for, from these younger guys, kind of the mental side of it, for them to learn the playbook, to see what they have, not so much from a physical standpoint.
Exactly. I mean, you can see there's some physicality involved with what they're doing, but they really stop when there would be a tackle. And they've been doing that all OTAs anyway. That's what they do in practice. But it's a lot lighter than what they normally do. But I like what I see out of Case Keenum and his receivers. He's had a chance to throw to DeAndre Hopkins an awful lot. That's something we haven't seen in these OTAs because he wasn't getting reps with the ones. Well, now he has a chance to throw to the number one draft choice. And Stephen McGee's been the other quarterback. T.J. Yates not getting reps in the minicamp and a lot of plays. When you add up over 300 plays for Keenum, for McGee, for their units, that's a whole lot. And defensively, getting the outside linebacker situation squared away with the mental reps for Brian Braman and Whitney Mercilus and players like that, that really helps.
Ed Reed made an appearance out there at minicamp today, obviously not taking the field, but good to see him out there, and he had a lot of things to say.
Yeah, he certainly did, Patty, because everyone's been talking about it. Ed Reed required surgery on his hip, and when did he know about the injury? What's the timeline of events? The media had all sorts of questions. It was like an investigative report out there, but really, Ed Reed and the Texans made the decision together to get surgery after it was discovered he would need surgery following his signing with the Houston Texans, and he explained this to everybody.
Surprised that you even needed the surgery? How did that all come down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really didn't know. You know, I knew there was something there, you know, but it didn't seem major at all. And honestly, it was a slight tear. You know, and we did due diligence, you know, on both sides. You know, me, my doctor, Cap, you know, and the head doctor here, you know, and Dr. Philippon. We all put our heads together to make the best decision, and that was the best decision. And, you know, we're going through the process.
Was it something that showed up after you had your physical before you signed?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we just really had to look into it. You know, like I told Cap, once I came here, you know, I started to run. You know, it's like, let's look at this again. You know, we did an MRI, you know, I sent it to Philippon, you know, and had a better image of it, you know, and it revealed two things, you know, and, you know, the other one was slightly, you know, and I thought it was a bit minor procedure that I had to have done, you know, but being that it was a slight tear in the labrum, you know, and it took me back to when I knew it could have happened, you know, but I played in the Super Bowl. You know, and, you know, it's something that happens, man. Injuries happen in football, you know, all the time. You know, and we're doing everything, you know, and I'm in the right place to rehab, you know, and to get this thing rolling.
Another veteran making an appearance out there on the field was Tim Dobbins, noticeably absent from OTAs, but was here at the mandatory minicamps, and he had some explaining to do as well.
He did, Patty, and maybe more than Ed Reed, because there was perfect attendance during OTAs, and Reed would not be able to practice anyway, but Dobbins was healthy enough to go, and he said he had some personal things to take care of.
I had obligations with my family. Renovating the house. That's what it was. We were renovating the whole house. And I've been having this house for a year already. I demoed it all myself. I've been trying to work on it myself and just trying to learn another skill as far as that. But I definitely missed out on some things, learned some names, and seen some new faces on this team.
Tim, do you feel like that you let any teammates down, or do you feel like they understand the reason you're gone?
I'm pretty sure I let some of the guys down, but at the same time, I'm hoping they understand. You know what I mean? I hope they understand that I'm here, and when I'm here, I'm giving them 110% of everything I have, and there's nothing else left in the tank. So I don't want them to have that doubt that I'm not going to be a part of this team. We'll give everything, all my effort on this team.
Gary Kubiak said he was disappointed with Dobbins that he wasn't at OTAs, but they'll have to move past this, and Dobbins was calling defensive signals from time to time during minicamp.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Plenty more still to come. We'll catch up with quarterbacks coach Carl Durrell. We'll introduce you to one of the rookies, Chris Jones, all that and more when Texans Huddle rolls on.
This portion of Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Time now for our Houston Community College Smart Decision segment. And probably no other position on the field has to make smart decisions on a consistent basis than that of quarterback.
That's right, Patty. And the man to help them make those smart decisions is quarterbacks coach Carl Durrell, the former UCLA head coach. And Drew Doherty had a chance to catch up with him following practice.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Mark. Here with quarterbacks coach Carl Durrell. And Carl, continuity is kind of the word to describe things in your group. You're here for a second year. You've got the same top three at quarterback in Matt Schaub and Case Keenum and TJ Yates. Not necessarily in that order behind things, but how big a deal is continuity right now for you guys in this group?
Well, it's big because, you know, you're able to move forward with your offense and defensive schemes for us offensively. It's good to have a good veteran in Matt Schaub, who's one of the better quarterbacks in this league, as we know. And, you know, he's been able to accomplish a lot in his career, but we need to get him to get to the end result, which is what we're shooting for, which is a championship. And then we got two really good up-and-coming players with T.J. Yates, who, you know, as his rookie year played well. And now Case Keenum, he's kind of had a really very good offseason as well and kind of in the fold with the competition. So we're happy to have those three. You know, we also have Stephen McGee that's, you know, trying to get in that mix too, in terms of the competitive nature of the position. But it is comfortable to know that three good guys have been in our system a year, and we can move forward with it.
Tell us about Schaub, because this time last year you didn't get a chance to work with him. You didn't get to see him until really training camp. How beneficial is that for you and for the team? And what have you seen, you know, as compared to what you saw at the end of January?
Well, I see a better player, you know, athletically is what I see for sure. He's been a guy that, as you know, he's had that injury last year. He didn't get cleared to really practice until late in the summer. And he survived the whole year with that injury and playing well. But I think what I saw this offseason is a guy that he's in great shape. He's physically probably a little lighter than he was last year, so he's moving around better on his feet. He's more nimble, I think, with all the work that we've paid attention to in the offseason. And he's proven that already with the OTAs in terms of how nimble he's been and how athletic his movement is. So I'm excited about what he's going to be this year.
In OTAs, growth-wise, what did you see out of T.J. Yates?
You see another guy that's healthy, too. T.J. had some elbow tendonitis all last year. He's completely healthy, and he feels good about where he is physically. So he's a guy that I think his confidence is high, and now he feels he can really press the envelope for him to make a big jump, too. So, you know, that's why that position is really solid. It has some good foundation of what we do offensively, and now they can just kind of hone in on their own individual skills to try to play the best that they can play, which evidently would help the offense play as best as the offense can play.
You know, Case Keenum's college heroics, well chronicled what he did at U of H, but he's really come a long way in a year and a half, hasn't he?
He has, because he was in a different system that was always in the gun. He had to learn some fundamentals from being under center. And, you know, we're a big balanced offense where we run the ball effectively and we throw it with play action and also in our drop back game. So, you know, he's had to learn footwork and technique over the course of a year, and we thought he could do it. And there's no question, he's no surprise to us why he's been playing so well this offseason, how comfortable he looks in the pocket. Plus, knowing our offense, you know, you're seeing some of his intangibles come forward with how he sees the field and how he's been able to make throws.
Last thing, after the last month and a half of work, what's got you most excited as a quarterback's coach?
Pushing the envelope. You know, I think that's the biggest thing as an offense and a defense and Coach Kubiak's team is that, you know, we've done some, had some pretty good years back to back. Now we got to make a big, big step. You know, I think there's a high expectation in our organization of where we think we should be, and we got to live up to that type of expectation. So I think it's pushing the envelope forward, you know, really be hard on ourselves and critical of ourselves and how we prepare and how we practice, and really not measure ourselves to anybody in what we do, but just measure ourselves on a different level as to playing at our highest level. You know, only we individually know what that level is. So I think we need to challenge ourselves to just push the envelope as high as we can take it. And then if we do that, I think we'll win a lot of games.
Coach Durrell, always fun to talk with you. We really appreciate the time. And we've got more Texans Huddle coming up after this quick short break.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. This is the segment of the Joneses. Ben and Chris, let's go alphabetical and start with Ben. Why don't we?
Well, why don't we? Because Ben is the veteran, Patty, and he was a rookie last year. We thought he was going to be a backup center only, ended up starting at right guard a bunch, and he had a terrific season. Here he is heading into year two and now getting involved in the community, and one of his efforts involves heads-up football. He was recently at the Methodist Training Center to explain this to some kids and the media.
That's it right there. All right. All right.
We are experiencing for the first time in the history of football, youth football in this country, a reduction in the amount of kids participating in youth football because of parental concerns over concussions. Concussions are a scary topic, and I think that if we can disseminate as much information as possible, that will alleviate some of the parents' fears. If we can teach our kids a common language and a common way to do things to where they understand that they can play this game, they can play this game for a long time and not have permanent side effects from playing this game, then I think we're going to have a game that more people are going to be excited about. And of course, here in the great state of Texas, football is a big deal. And we want to make sure that all of our parents and all of our stakeholders understand that if we don't do it properly, then we're going to lose these kids. And this game is too valuable. And the things that we can teach throughout the course of our football are too valuable.
Heads up football, another way the National Football League is trying to make the game safer at all levels. Well, we go from Ben Jones, who played as a rookie, to Chris Jones, who could play as a rookie this year at nose tackle. With the departure of Sean Cody, there's an open spot behind starter Earl Mitchell, Patty.
Absolutely. I had a chance to sit down with Chris Jones and talk about that and more.
Well, right now, I think mentally, you know, learning right now, I think I'm doing pretty well. Learning the defense, you know, getting everything down around here, how things go. On the field, I think I'm picking it up. I started off a little slow, I think, and now I'm starting to pick it up, and you know, I'm starting to play the technique the way Coach Kolar is trying to force it in my head. So I think I'm doing pretty well right now.
Your initial reaction to Coach Kolar, I mean, we all know he's a vocal guy, he's a screamer, I mean, he's a yeller, but, you know, just sort of your initial reaction to sort of his tutelage.
Man, I've had a few coaches that are pretty similar to him, but, of course, not like him. But I think even when I met him at the combine, I knew there was a little twitch to him. But, no, he's a great guy. He's a good guy. I know everything he does is with good intention, even though it may not sound like it sometimes. But I know he's trying to teach me and, you know, get me to be on the straight and forward. And but, you know, sometimes he does get to you. Like, he does have that. He does know what to say sometimes, and it gets to you and it motivates you. Like, you don't know it does, because at the moment you're like, okay, is that really what I need? And then you come to see that it actually helps you.
Any of the vets or anybody out there that you sort of kind of try to align yourself with or taking them under your wing at all, or is it you kind of still hanging just with rookies?
I mean, outside of football, I mean, it's mostly me and the rookies, but I'd say when it comes to, like, on-the-field stuff and in the meeting rooms, I'd say Earl Mitchell. I mean, I've probably talked to him the most out of all the veterans. He's really kind of talked to me and helped me. And even when I'm out in the field, he'll take me, you know, to the side and be like, hey, when you're doing this, you got to make sure that, you know, you put your hands here, or you're reading this guy, and if this is happening, make sure that, you know, this could happen. So he's really helped me out a lot.
So if you can pinpoint one thing, what's been the biggest, you know, and I know it's just OTA, so it's very early, but what's been the biggest adjustment, or the biggest difference in the game from the college level?
Definitely the speed. The speed at which we have to learn things and the speed at which we have to actually perform on the field. I mean, with us not even wearing pads, you know, this whole time we've had to go full speed. And, you know, it's us grinding every play. And, you know, when we're out there doing individual, it's just the D-line. You know, it's just constantly go, go, go. It's never stopping. So, you know, we get, you know, I guess you have to earn your money, you know, here in the NFL. So that's something I really learned.
So tell us about you off the field.
Me off the field? I'm a pretty laid-back guy. I mean, very quiet, very choosy with my words. I'll think a lot before I say something. So, but I'm a really nice guy. You know, anybody can come up to me. I'll be friendly with anyone.
So what are your, let's say, your short-term goals here for this season moving forward?
Short-term goals, obviously make the team. Then after that, start playing. Maybe not starting right away, but getting some playing time. And then hopefully, you know, obviously, you know, work my way up to being a starter.
And long-term goals?
Long-term goals, becoming a starter. And, you know, obviously us winning a Super Bowl, that'd probably be another short-term goal for this year, winning a Super Bowl. Long-term, I want to be a Pro Bowl player, be the best at my position. So that's a long-term goal.
Chris Jones was the Defensive Player of the Year in the Mid-American Conference, and that's the league that produced the number one pick in the entire draft, Patty, Eric Fisher out of Central Michigan. So that's a nice accolade for him. We'll see how he does.
You are just a wealth of information.
I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be wealthy in the information category anyway.
All right, we're going to take our final time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, mailbag. Mark escaped the chair last time and did it himself. Not so this time.
Neither of us doing mailbag this week. Strange. Nick and Drew up next.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Time now for Facebook Mailbag.
That's right, Patty. You know, 6 weeks between minicamp and training camp. We're sitting in air-conditioned comfort. Soon we'll be sweating it out at the Methodist Training Center. And fans, among other things, want to know how to get passes. Nick and Drew cover that and more.
Hello, friends. Thanks for checking out this Facebook mailbag. Drew Doherty and Nick Scherfield answering your questions from Facebook. And Nick, we start out with a simple one from Donna Block. She wants to know, when will passes be available for training camp? Donna, it's not been made official yet, but look out the week of mid-July, right around then. On HoustonTexans.com, our Twitter page, our Facebook page, this show, and you'll have more information. But they're free to the public, but they're limited. So you got to get in and get in.
Yeah, it has not been announced yet. Once it's announced, we'll have it everywhere. Like you said, Drew, it'll be broadcast all over our channels on HoustonTexans.com, and we'll talk about it on Texans Radio, I'm sure, as well. But always fun. There's usually 5 to 8 practices or so that are open to fans, and it's great to see the fans out there watching the players signing autographs and stuff like that for practice. As hot as it is out there, it's always good.
Yes, Donna, we can't wait to sweat with you. All right, our next one comes from Jay Villa. He has this. I've been submitting my questions for a couple of years and never get picked. Please answer mine, dudes. Who is the fastest guy on the team and who is the strongest? Well, Jay, it's your lucky day to make your dreams come true. As far as the fastest guy on the team, maybe corner Bryce McCain. He's one of those guys that has got that blazing speed. I believe you've thrown 4.2 and 40 around with them.
Yeah, I would say Bryce McCain is probably the fastest guy on the team. I've never seen them line up and run 40-yard dashes next to each other or sprint next to each other. But you look at the 40 times they had, and McCain ran in the 4.2s at his pro day at Utah, I think as a junior and as a senior when he was there with the Utes. He's got blazing speed, a smaller guy, but great speed. You know, Jonathan Joseph, I think, ran, you know, 4.3s or maybe, yeah, low 4.3s when he was at the combine. That was back in 2005, 2006. I give it to Bryce McCain. There are some other guys like Joseph, like Daniel Manning, who have got a lot of speed, but Bryce McCain.
Strongest, you could probably take your pick of any lineman, defensively or offensively. You could even go with J.J. Watt.
Or Brooks Reed was mentioned by a couple guys last year as being one of the stronger guys on the team. I think any of those guys also fit that bill.
Finally, Joe Contreras has this one. Could I get a birthday shout-out on the show from my Houston Texans since Friday is my birthday? Man, we're just making dreams happen all day long here on the Facebook mailbag. Happy birthday, Joe. Hope it's a great one. For Nick Scherfield, I'm Drew Doherty. We will see you next week.
Well, you won't ever hear me turn my birthday into Facebook mailbag turning years old this October.
And I don't even have birthdays, so we won't discuss that. But we would like to take a moment to wish one of our own well, and that is Zach Emmons. He, of course, is with the Houston Texans Media Relations Department. He is moving on to other endeavors. He's been with the ball club since the mid-2005, 2006, somewhere in there. Does an incredible job, and we wish him all the success in the world.
Going to Phoenix International Speedway. Zach, best of luck to you. You've done a sensational job. We end the show with highlights from First Down Dads, presented by Aramark. It was at the Methodist Training Center last week. Happy Father's Day.
You know, this event here, it's all about giving back. You know, I was fortunate to have a good dad passed 2 years ago, and just trying to send a message. And the message today was about time, not only about time spent with your son, your daughter, time with your family. I mean, we all got professions and jobs, and you can still do it and still be a good parent.
My wife surprised me with this perfect Father's Day gift, bring me out here with interact with the Texans players, coaches. We're true Texans fans all the way since day one. And it's exciting, you know. The environment is good.
Well, this is a wonderful organization. You know, to come out here with my son and to be able to do this, you know, all for free, it's really neat thing. So we're getting a lot out of it.
I'm excited because I wanted to meet the players today because I know the Texans are going to have new players this year, and so I'm really excited to see them here.
I'm excited to be out here, you know, having fun with the kids, seeing the fathers, you know, just a good chance to just have fun. And that's what this is all about, just family and fun, just having a great time.
Oh, it's fun. You know, it just brings you back to when you were a little kid and you got to go through little drills like this. And it just takes you back to just being a kid and just being out here having a good time.